around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Okeke. And now, today's word.
My message today is simply titled, The Savior Comes. The Savior Comes. The triumphant entry of Jesus Christ is very important for Christendom because it is reported in all the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all reported. This is very significant because not everything is reported across board in all the four Gospels. There are few events that are reported across board in all the four Gospels, and this is one of them reported throughout the four Gospels, and it shows the importance of the event. But I'm going to read part of Matthew's account of that day as I begin my teaching. Matthew chapter 21 and verses 9 to 11. Matthew 21, 9 to 11. And I read, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Just to explain a bit of the last part, Jesus Christ spent much of his ministry in Galilee. So Galilee is close to Jerusalem, but it's a small town, it's a village. And Jesus' ministry was basically in a village in Galilee and just going around and so on. Jerusalem is the capital, is the city. So it's like somebody who lives probably in Pram Pram and does all his ministry in Pram Pram. Or maybe if you go beyond Pram Pram to Sege or Ada or someplace there and travels to the capital city of Accra. And there's a huge gathering. So everybody's asking, what's happening? This is not an Accra man. This is not somebody we know in the city. And they say, whoa, yeah. He's the prophet from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. So that's what is happening here. Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And a few things I want to mention. In the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus' ministry was a bit secretive. In other words, Jesus did not make himself popular. He wouldn't go into the public. Even his brothers were a bit worried that he wouldn't go and show forth miracles and work things and display for people to think he was important. And many times Jesus would heal people and he would tell them, shh, don't talk about it. And Jesus would most of the time go and hide. He wasn't seeking for popularity. He wasn't there trying to make himself known. He was just fulfilling righteousness. So popularity is not part of Jesus' ministry. But on this one occasion, Jesus comes publicly. So he's doing something that is a bit uncharacteristic of the Jesus we have known, who recedes into privacy. Now he's doing something very publicly, to the extent that when the Pharisees told him, hey, shut your disciples down, let them keep quiet, he says, if I shut them down, even the stones are going to declare. So this thing that is happening has to happen, and it has to be big. It has to be loud. And it's not just because the people wanted it, but it is part of God's plan. It's going to be a loud proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are two words I want to start with. Well, before I go into that, just to also note that what is recorded in Matthew has its roots in Psalm 118, verse 25 to 27. Psalm 118, verse 25 to 27, as part of the psalm, it says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar." Now, you would notice that the two phrases, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," occurs on the triumphant entry, and it occurs in the Psalms. So what the people are doing, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they are fulfilling what Psalm 118 has already declared. So if you want to understand the triumphant entry of Jesus, you have to also understand Psalm 118 from verse 25 to 27, because it is talking about the same event. One is a prophecy, the other is a fulfillment. Psalm 118 is a prophecy, it's looking forward. Matthew and Luke and the triumphant entry is saying it happened as had been prophesied. So two words in the passage that I want to bring to your attention. The first word is the name Jesus. Jesus. It simply means the Lord is Savior, or the Lord is our help, or the Lord is our deliverer, or the Lord is our salvation. That same thing. Jesus. In the Hebrew, the name of Jesus is Yeshua. Yeshua. And Yeshua is made up of two ideas. First is Yah, which is the name of the Lord. And Shua, which means help, or deliver, or save. So Yah and Shua makes up Jesus' name, Yahshua. The Lord help, or the Lord save, or the Lord deliver. So when you put the two together, Yeshua, it means the Lord who saves, or the Lord who delivers, or the Lord who is our help. That's what his name is, Yahshua, the Lord our helper. And then the word Hosanna, which is used in the passage, Hosanna. It simply means save now, or please save us, or help us now. Please save us. The Hosanna declaration carries the idea of both praise and petition. So there is praise, it is praising God, and it is also making a petition. Please save us now. Please deliver us now. Now, the word Hosanna, which we have in English, which we use in English, is the Greek form of the Hebrew word. The Greek is Hosanna. But in Hebrew, it's Hoshea. Hoshea, na. Hoshea, na. Hoshea, na. Deliver, we pray, or deliver us, please, or deliver us now. Now, why am I picking on these two words? Because if you remember the definition I gave of the Hebrew name of Jesus, is Yeshua. And the word Hosanna is Hoshea. Both have the same root word. The same root word is Shea. It occurs in Yeshua, and it occurs in Hoshea, na. It all means save, deliver, help. So for us in English, when we say Jesus and we say Hosanna, there's no link between the two words. But in Hebrew, if you say Yeshua and you say Hoshea, there is a link there, because Yeshua and Hoshea have the same root word. Both means deliver, save, or help us. So for the people who were there at that time, when they were crying and saying Hosanna to Yeshua, they were calling on the deliverer to deliver them. And they fully understood what they were talking about, that this man from Galilee called Yeshua is the one who will be our Hoshea. He will be our deliverer. He will be our savior. The Hoshea is provided by Yeshua, Jesus, the deliverer, the helper. So when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who is the guy? And they say, Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. They were using a play of words that in English we don't get, but in Hebrew it was very clear. They are linking Jesus Christ to the deliverer prophesied in Psalm 118. So, what did Christ come to do? What did he come to do? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To do what? When they saw him coming, what was he coming to do? When we say, Jesus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, what is he coming to do? Of course, different people come to do different things. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what is Jesus coming to do? If he's coming in the name of the Lord, if he's Jesus, he's Yeshua, he's the helper, he's the deliverer, he's the savior, and we're crying for help and deliverance and salvation, what is he coming to offer us? Three things that Jesus is coming to do are based on the scriptures. First, he came to fulfill the scriptures. He came as the promised Messiah in accordance with the scriptures. When the people cried, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were not just conjuring words, they were quoting scripture. They were saying, this man is come according to the scriptures to fulfill the scriptures. Until we see the life of Jesus in line with prophecy, his life does not mean meaning to us. If Jesus is just a good man who came, caused a riot, the Romans were upset with him, they killed him, and that's the end. It's a good story, but it's a story of a revolutionary. But Jesus came to fulfill over 300 prophecies that had been given hundreds and sometimes thousands of years before he was born, and he fulfilled each one of them, including this one. Did somebody go to organize a crowd in Jerusalem to say, listen, when he's coming, we have to fulfill prophecy. Let us say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. No, nobody organized them. Spontaneously, they fulfill scripture. Because Jesus comes first and foremost to fulfill what has been written about him. As a matter of fact, what makes this even more compelling is the fact that that phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, it is used only at the Feast of Tabernacles. But this is not the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the Feast of the Passover. It is not supposed to be recited during Passover. But when Jesus is coming, somehow the people, unknown to them, pick up Psalm 118 at the wrong time and season and declare it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's compelling evidence that Jesus comes for one purpose, and that purpose is to fulfill the scripture that has already been declared about him. The scripture is so important because it is only when we see Jesus in prophecy that his ministry takes on meaning with us. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that he came to give us God's light. In verse 27 of Psalm 118, it says, and he has given us light. He has given us light. When they cried, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What is he coming to give us? Light. Why is that important when they say he came to give us light? You know, one of the things you have to understand about this Bible, the Bible is such a precise document and is such a coherent, harmonious document. And sometimes a lot misses us when we're reading the scripture. But nothing is a mistake in the Bible. Everything is written because it's linked up to something. And you have to always know what it is linked up to. So why does it say he brings us light? Well, of course, if you read your Bible, in the beginning, When the earth is without form and chaos, darkness is upon the face of the deep. God sent his word. And what did his word bring? Light. God said, let there be light. Jesus is the word of God. He's come, not just to a world full of darkness and chaos, but to people whose life is full of darkness. In the first instance, light comes to the world when there is no human being. In the second instance, there are human beings who are in darkness, whose life is chaotic, and God sends his word to bring us light. So what they are saying is a pure reflection to Genesis chapter 1. Just like God dispelled darkness upon the earth, Jesus comes to dispel darkness in the life of humanity. And in him we have light. We have light. No matter the darkness and the chaos of your life, when Christ comes into your life, he dispels every darkness. He overturns your life. He reworks your life. He makes your life better. He brings light. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To do what? To fulfill scripture. What else? To bring light into our lives. So that no matter the darkness in your life, when Christ comes in, that darkness disappears. It may be darkness of whatever kind, but the darkness disappears because he comes to bring us light. And the third, very, very important, he came to offer himself as a sacrificial offering. He came to offer himself as a sacrificial offering. Now, you say, Pastor, where is that from? Now, as I said, the people who gathered on the streets of Jerusalem, leading to Jerusalem and into Jerusalem, who cut palm branches, which is supposed to be done during the Feast of Tabernacles, they are now doing it in the Passover. It doesn't seem to be the right time to do what they are doing, but they are doing it because scripture has to be fulfilled. And they are crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, deliver us. Yeshua, save us. Yeshua, you are the deliverer. And they're crying all of these things. They are doing this because Psalm 118 has already predicted that is what will be done. So they are picking up the scripture and using it without even being aware of what they are doing. Because God is fulfilling scripture through them. And part of Psalm 118 has something very interesting in the Psalm, verse 27. And it says, God is the Lord, and he has given us light. He came to give us light. The next line says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Now, this part was not uttered by the crowd in Jerusalem, but this is part of the prophetic word of Psalm 118. So Psalm 118 says, when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the person who is coming in the name of the Lord, the declaration is bind the sacrifice. In other words, it's like you go and take the sacrificial animal and you bind it and you take it to the altar to sacrifice. So at the same time as they are praising Jesus, they are also declaring this man going into Jerusalem is going to be bound as a sacrifice and be offered as a sacrifice. So they may not be aware of it. That is why Hosanna is followed by crucify him. Crucify him is also prophetic. So it's not like the people betrayed Jesus. They didn't betray Jesus. They fulfilled scripture. Because this man going to Jerusalem is a sacrifice, he will be bound. And he will be offered as a sacrificial offering on the altar. It is for this purpose that he came.
When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he knew Judas would betray him. He knew he'd be crucified. He had said it so many times. So people say, you know, be very careful of the world. The people, same people who say Hosanna will be the same people who say crucify him. They are both fulfilling scripture. Are you following me? One is not shocking the other. It's like Jesus is going to Jerusalem. They say, Hosanna, Hosanna. He said, oh, how popular am I? Oh, I am it. I am the greatest man. And then they say, crucify him. Say, hey! Nipa yesumu, nipa timu yesumu. Don't try, man, oh. Don't fear, man. No, Jesus is not saying fear, man. Because when they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, he knew Psalm 118 said he's going to be bound. And he knew he would be a sacrificial offering, and he knew he would be on the altar. He wasn't going in presumption like a human being who doesn't know the end from the beginning. He knew exactly what was happening. So what did he come to give us? He came to fulfill the scriptures. Secondly, he came to give us light, just like the light of God dispelled darkness over the earth, to dispel darkness in our lives. And then he came purposefully to be the sacrificial offering. And he knew he would be bound. To be bound means that you can't free yourself. You'll be limited. And if you look at how Jesus was treated from the time he was bound in Gethsemane, he didn't have any freedom. He had only one place to go. And on the cross, he was bound. He couldn't move his hand, couldn't move his legs, because the sacrifice cannot deliver itself. The sacrifice has to be sacrificed. And that had already been prophesied. Bind the sacrifice with cords. So, for all that he came to do, what do we receive from him? The people who lined up in the streets of Jerusalem, they were speaking for all of us. They represent the people of the world who need salvation. They represent all of us who need help. So when they cried out, save us now, Hosanna, Hosanna, please help us, please deliver us, please deliver us, please save us. When they cried, it was like all of us crying to Jesus, as you go to Jerusalem, as you go as the sacrifice, please deliver us. Please save us. In other words, what you're going to do is for us. Your death will be for us. Your sacrifice will be for us. Your pain will be for us. So what do we receive from Christ? I'll just talk about two things that the passage talks about. Now, verse 25 of Psalm 18 says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Two things it's talking about. That in Christ Jesus, we have salvation. He saves of all those who call upon him. He paid the price for our sin. And in Christ, there is salvation. Save now. And anyone who comes to Jesus Christ and says, you are the Savior, you are the Yeshua, save me, Hosea me, deliver me. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't just mean anybody who says Jesus will be saved. No, when you call on him as the Savior who saves, when you cry on him as a Savior, the Yeshua, the Deliverer, the Helper who saves, you will be saved. You have to call on him because you know him as the Savior. If you just call his name, you won't get salvation, but you have to know who he is, that he's the Savior. And when you call upon his name, you will be saved. You will be saved. Whoever, and it's interesting, sometimes when we read the Bible, we think it means that People who go to church, if they call upon him, will be saved. But actually, those who go to church should have already called upon him. But those who don't go to church, those who are sinners, unbelievers, when they call on him, will be saved. People from all over the world, no matter their background, even their religion, when they come to Jesus Christ and say, "You are the Savior, save us," they will be saved and they will be delivered. And he's the one who saves us from sin, from bad habits, from drugs, from all kinds of things that bind our lives, so that we can have freedom in him and walk in his victory. In him we have salvation. But check what the verse also says. He says, "Save now, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send prosperity." So the Lord doesn't just bring us salvation, but he brings us prosperity. In him we become prosperous. Now that word prosperous in Hebrew doesn't literally mean you will make money. That's not what it means. Although it could be included, but that's not exactly what it means. The word prosperous means to get on well with life. To get on well with life. To become better. To live a better life. So when he saves us, he gives us a better life. Jesus put it this way in John 10:10, "I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Save now, O Lord, I pray, and send prosperity, that in him our lives will get on better. Our lives will get on better. We have peace, we have joy, and our whole lives improve. It's amazing what happens when a person gives their life to Jesus Christ. They have improved life. Even the way you think improves. The way you dress improves. The way you talk improves. Your outlook on life improves. You have a better vision. You manage your time better. You manage your resources better. You think clearer. And you wonder, why didn't I make this decision long time ago? Because you didn't know you were in darkness, but he brings the light, and in the light is salvation, and in the light is also abundant life. So that's what happened on the triumphant entry. All of these things were happening when they were going to Jerusalem. The people were there doing what should be done during the Feast of Tabernacles, which happens later in October, November, and now doing it during the Feast of the Passover, which happens around March and April. Seasonally, they are saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, but scripturally, they are doing the right thing, because this is what God says will happen. And this morning, as we think about the enormity of the promise of God, and the scriptures, and the power they carry, and the meaning they carry for us, that God thought about all of these things way ahead of time. All we need to do is to thank Jesus for what he did, but also to receive what he came to bring us, to receive salvation and to receive a better life. So this morning, if you are here and you say, "Pastor, I want a better life. I want my life to be better. I want salvation. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be born again." This is what Jesus came for, that you would be saved, that your life would be better. Let's bow our heads for a minute or two as we consider what it means to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And today, no matter what situation you are in, you can have a better life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are here, you say, "Pastor, I want to receive salvation in Christ. I want to receive the better life. I want to receive the abundant life. I want Christ to be my light. I want him to dispel the darkness of my life and give me true joy and happiness." If that's your heart desire, that's your heart cry, then lift up your right hand to God this morning as we pray together. Just let your hand be up and don't feel shy. Just let your hand be up. You want salvation. You want Jesus to come into your life. You want to experience new life wherever you are. Ushers, look out for those with their hand up. Some have their hands halfway up, so look out for them closer. You'll find them. But anybody who wants this life in Christ, let your hand be up. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you who lifted up your hand, I want you to put your hand on your heart. Put your hand on your heart as we pray together. And all of us are going to say this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for coming to save me through Jesus Christ. You are my deliverer. You are my helper. You are my salvation. And today, I receive your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died, that he rose from the dead, and in him I have life. In him I have salvation. In him I have a better life. I thank you, Father, for accepting me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's honor the Lord.